Welcome to the second part of this crazy interview with Danton Conte, who shares a lot about his workout advice for statics and for leg training and how both together can improve your statics. You already learned a lot about his planche advice in the first part, and now the second part is here to give you even more knowledge.
To get a really good form, he needs to be able to like have a strong glutes, have strong legs. So what I do when I planche, I literally put my legs together, I squeeze them.
As always, all the topics, all the bookmarks that we talk about are in the description, so you can pick the topic that is interesting for you. Enjoy this interview and keep growing, gorillas. And it takes like a good self-discipline, I would say, to not do 100% in every training.
Exactly, exactly. It definitely, because you got to look at it as the bigger picture. So you basically live to fight another day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just about being patient. It's discipline, yeah, because you think, oh man, I need to go hard. I need to kill myself so I can't move my arms the next day. That's cool, you're doing that, but then you're more prone to get injured. And then you can't planche again for like another 5 days. And I find that your body's like, obviously it's not going to forget, but it needs to be reminded frequently. Like what I was doing before, like I literally, so every day I planched, yeah? Or Friday, for example. So Monday would be 60 to 80%. Tuesday, 20 to 40%. Yeah? And same thing, Wednesday, 60 to 80. Thursday, 20 to 40, and so on. So one high, one high-ish, but not max, and one low. So that Monday could be like five heavy sets, heavy-ish sets. Five heavy combos of just regular holds, like timed holds. So I always time my holds. If I'm just doing holds, I time them. So that way I can track what I'm doing. Because if you just hold and just wait till you feel tired, you have to be able to track your. So I've got like an app I use called Interval Timer. I just put the app on. I have like, so I put like 10 seconds on, five sets of 10 seconds with like 2 minutes or 3 minutes rest in between. The next day, for example, I would do something similar. I'll do three sets and that would be of like 5 seconds just to feel what I'm doing. It could even be straddles. But as long as I'm feeling the movement, I'm satisfied. And Wednesday back again, same thing, same kind of thing. And that's kind of my method of like planching every day, but progressing, but not regressing, not like losing the progress. So yeah, there's so many different ways you can, you know, do it. But that's kind of, I did that for a good few months. My planche got so strong and the form got so strong. Like the form was so clean and the seconds became so like every week or two, I would up the seconds. So like it would be from 10 seconds and 11, just up it slowly. There's nothing wrong with even doing the same time. It's fine. But it's just about making the move just feel effortless, you know, and then you progress it that way. Because people want to progress every week. I want to add a second or two every week. Sometimes it's not about adding that second. It's about feeling the move and trying to master the 10 seconds before you move on to mastering 11 seconds and so on. So yeah, that's one method I actually followed a lot. Like the first lockdown that we had, I was just, okay, let me just planche every day and try this. And my planche got so strong. My endurance became crazy strong as well. Like, yeah, it helps a lot for the endurance and just the skill itself. So that's my recommendation for like trying to up your planche. Like if you want to take your planche to the next level, you do that, you know.
Wow, cool. Switching back to weight, Kelly, does it help to like, do you generally recommend to somebody wanting to improve his statics form, his statics power, to do weighted Kelly?
Weighted calisthenics, to be fair, I don't really think it's important, because I literally dropped weight calisthenics. I mean, I'm back on it now, but I dropped it for 2 years. I didn't do no weight calisthenics. I just only did statics and powerlifting. Because I think it could help. Like, I guess it could help, but I don't think it's really important. Like, you see a lot of the guys, they got heavy dips, heavy pull-ups, but they can't really do much planching or front levers with that. Maybe because they're big dudes, I don't know, but I don't think it's, I mean, you can implement it. It's not going to hurt to implement it, but I don't think it's needed to progress your statics. I don't think it's needed, because most people that did statics, they did only their body weight and seemed to progress. I think weighted, it's not really a must if you're a static athlete. I don't think it's really important. In my opinion, it's not. Because there was a time where I did weighted only, and I didn't do as much statics, and my statics actually got worse. I had crazy like dips, like 80 kilo for 10 dips, 100 kilo dips, pull-ups, you know, heavy pull-ups. But I didn't do as much statics, and my statics were kind of going. I was like, oh no, okay, time to bring my statics back. So I kind of dropped the weight because I missed doing statics. Because yeah, I had a period of 2 years where I didn't do statics that much. I focused more on the weighted and the weight calisthenics, and I think I probably just put on lots of weight. And yeah, my statics, I mean, they were there. I mean, they were still there, but not as strong as they were before. Because I literally put all my like it depends. It's about where you put your focus. If you put your focus in one thing and lose it and lose the other, then you're gonna, you know, not progress in the other thing. But right now, for example, my progress is everything. Well, mainly powerlifting and statics. So I do those two hand in hand and they both progress equally. So it's about prioritizing what you want to do. If you just want to do statics and you just focus on that, weight calisthenics is not really gonna help too much, in my opinion. It might help for some basic strength of pushing, but the skill itself is what needs to be done to learn a planche. Not don't go off and just do weighted dips and get to 100 weighted dips. Oh, why can't I planche it? Because you didn't really focus on the planche itself. Maybe you can put it as an accessory. I'm not saying you can't. You can maybe add it as an accessory, but I just think they're completely different movements. I mean, personally, statics help weighted calisthenics. In my opinion, it did, because when I transitioned over to weight calisthenics, I had pretty strong dips already because I had a strong planche. My weight pull-ups were pretty decent because I had a strong front lever. So in that case, it does help. But the other way around, I don't really think so. I could be wrong, but in my experience, that's what happened. Like my weight went up, my statics went down. Maybe because I didn't really keep the statics up as well, but it just shows that you can have a crazy big dip. It doesn't mean you're gonna have a planche because it's not specific enough to train for the planche. But yeah, you can still, I mean, if you love doing weighted dips, add it in, of course, add it in. That's fine, you can add it in. But don't go in and think, oh, I'm just going to do weighted dips and or have weighted pull-ups and get a front lever or a planche. It doesn't really, it might help strength-wise, but it's not going to give you the skill. Yeah, but I don't think it helps too much. I think everyone's got a different opinion on that, but that's just my experience anyway.
All right. Wrist conditioning. Something that we received some questions about. How do you condition your wrists? Do you sometimes have wrist pain, or if not, how do you
Never.
avoid that?
I never ever had wrist pain in my life doing planche. Never ever. My wrists were always strong. I think it's because I learned planche on, so I learned my planche on the floor. And I think that's what helped my wrist get strong. So before, obviously before I had a planche, like I used to always do like handstand push-ups on against the wall and just handstands in general. And also probably from the flips that I do as well. Like, you know, with the flips, you've got to have like a lot of wrist flexion if you're doing tumbling. So I think that helped a lot. Because I find that people say, oh, I can't floor plant because my wrist hurts too much. But I think it's definitely to do with mobility because all of that stuff helped my wrist get flexible. The more you can flex your wrist, the more you can lean forward in a planche, right? If your wrist can't flex properly, then you can't lean forward. Then you got, it's like squats. People have very tight ankles, so they can't squat. So you've got to increase your dorsiflexion. So yeah, I think it's just about doing like just working on basic wrist stretches and just trying to increase your range of motion doing those stretches. And yeah, just keep trying to do like planche leans on the floor and just stick to that. But I have my wrist like so straight, but to the side a bit. Because having your wrist fully straight is painful. So I have it to the side a little bit, like a 45 degree angle. And that kind of helps a lot. For pain. But yeah, I never actually experienced, I never ever once experienced wrist pain myself, but I find that you need to really like spend, like even when you stretch generally, like any kind of, any stretch you do, you've got to spend about 10 minutes to ease your way into the stretch. Like if you do like, if it was to go and do splits right now, the first split attempt you do, you're going to feel crazy bad. You feel like, but then when you get into it 10 minutes in, you feel a lot more mobile. Like it starts to open up a bit more. So same thing for the wrist. Spend about 10 minutes stretching them before you planche, and they're gonna feel a lot more mobile. If you just go in straight away just doing a planche, then without stretching, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna feel tight. Like even me, what I do for my warm up, for my planche warm up, I start with a planche lean first, because I actually do, my wrist does click. Like the first lean or hold I do, I get a little click, and that click means it's loosening up. So I do like a planche lean first. A few tuck planches, advanced tucks, then I do my planche. If I just go in into a planche without warming up, without doing the stretches and the holds, then yeah, it's gonna be painful. So I always like ease my way into the planche by doing the wrist stretches first, then doing like the regression, so the planche lean, just to kind of get everything warmed. But I do, yes, it's all to do with mobility. So literally spend like 10 minutes every day just doing like just stretching out your wrists, like kind of like putting your wrists on the floor and pushing your weight forward. onto your wrists and do that for 10 minutes. So do like 10 seconds, have like a little rest and keep doing that. And eventually you're just going to be able to lean a lot more forward and handle a lot more stress on the wrists. So, and same thing, wrists turn backwards and then leaning back. And then do that before each plank session, and that should definitely help. Definitely, that will help.
So you do this in front of every session and not in the morning or something, but in front of every session, 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, personally, I don't do 10 minutes anymore. I did before in the past, I did, but right now it's like I just do like a quick planche lean, then a tuck, a few tucks, like a few tuck, advanced tuck, and then I go straight into it. But if you are like, if you're new to like floor planches or if you get pain, 10 minutes, do that for 10 minutes. And then I know it's like, I know it's boring, but trust me, 10 minutes in, your wrists are going to feel so much mobile. You're going to have so much flexibility in your wrist. And then that should help. Hope it does anyway. But it's like anything I do in general. Like if I'm trying to do like back when I was doing my shoulder plank training back in the day, I spent 10 minutes doing middle splits training just so I can open my legs up comfortably in a handstand going in down. Because I've done it before where I just went straight into it and my hips will cramp up. My hips didn't feel good. I couldn't open up as much. So it's like anything. Even if I'm squatting, I always like stretch my ankles up first so I can get good dorsiflexion. So yeah, I recommend being patient and even outside your session, just stretch them outside your sessions, like before you bed. Like I actually stretch like every night. Like every night when I'm relaxed, I just do like a little stretch for my, because since I powerlift as well now, being tight is the last thing you want because it's gonna lead to injuries. So I always like stretch my hips out, my glutes, my spine out, and my back. And same thing, I do like wrist stretches as well, just to keep everything healthy. So main thing is keeping yourself mobile. So yeah, doing the stretches before your session and maybe outside your session as well. Maybe like a time when you're like relaxing at night, you're watching Netflix or YouTube, just stretch your wrist out and just, yeah, the more you, and then keep increasing range of motion, and in the long term, you're gonna be fine. There'll be no issues. Like I've actually had no issues at all with wrist pain, like even from doing one-arm planches or whatever, it's like my wrists are fine. As long as I warm up properly. If I went into a one-arm planche without warming up, then maybe my wrists will hurt. But I always kind of prepare it first. So yeah, like anything, warm up, warming up, joints, mobilize, then start.
Cool. When you say middle split, is it the same as a side split? Is it the
Just
same?
like we stand and just like open your legs as wide as you can, but having your
Okay.
body like upright, or you can like lean forward as well. But like yeah, having like just literally so open up your legs like that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, because obviously that's what you're doing when you're doing a shoulder planche. Your legs are open, so you're basically doing middle splits while you're planching, right? So if you do that on the floor beforehand, it should help a lot for your hips to open up, and that will allow easier progress for your shoulder planche.
Awesome. We also received some questions about diet and the full planche. So, how important is your nutrition, your diet, for maintaining your statics? And yeah.
My diet, I'm not too fast on diet, but personally, I don't think I eat a lot throughout the day. I think I eat enough just to recover and survive. But I'm not really a big foodie, especially now that I'm back to work. I don't really like. I've had no food today, so
Wow.
I've been up from like 6 a.m. And right now, what time is it? It's like what? It's like 2. I've had no food yet. I've had a bit of water, but yeah, I always skip breakfast. I have like maybe two. Like two meals, like medium-sized meals, and I have like a kefir or something. I could have like a liter of kefir or something, or a smoothie before bed. But I don't really eat crazy amounts. I mean, maybe on the weekend I do because I've got time to eat. But throughout the week, I don't really eat much because I'm always working or I'm just out. I'm in the gym and just training people, training myself. I don't really eat much, and yeah, I've never really tracked my calories or anything, so I'm not really sure. But I don't overeat, so I think it's enough for me to just keep my weight the same because I've always got like a good consistent weight, and maybe that's what gives me the edge to be able to stat and lift because I'm not getting myself heavier. I'm not eating more. I'm just people. Oh, but how are you getting stronger then? I mean, I'm recovering enough, but I'm not trying to gain mass. I'm just training for strength. But yeah, I don't know. I still managed to get stronger even at like a maintaining a light weight because I remember 2 years ago when I was powerlifting. I was 81 kilos and I did crazy big lifts at 81 kilos. Last year, at 74 kilos, I managed to surpass my big lifts from when I was 80 kilos. And that was all beltless as well, without a belt too. And yeah, I managed to do that. So I think you can get stronger without adding muscle. So maybe that's how I stay light because I don't eat crazy amounts. I feel like people overeat. People just overeat. People eat like I don't think you need to be eating so much throughout the day. I think that's just like an overhyped thing, because I'm just so used to like working a lot, long hours and not eating. Because before, when I was working like as a fitness coach, was doing hours for the gym, I'd work 9 hours a day, right? And I'd have an hour break, and in that break, guess what I'm doing? I'm training. I didn't even eat. I just
Wow.
trained in that hour, and then I just quickly had like a kefir. I had like a kefir though, kefir. Like, I used to have like 1 liter of kefir just to keep me going. Then I'd finish late at night and have a meal, like at night, like a late ass meal, like a late meal, late night meal, and then that just kept me going. And people, oh, don't you get hungry? But I think over time, you kind of, it's like anything, your body adapts to anything you do, training or just in general in life. So if you don't eat as much, eventually you don't get hungry as much. You don't get thirsty as much. So yeah, my diet is not the best. It's not great, but it's enough to keep me going. And I still get, and I'm still getting stronger week by week. So yeah, I just literally have two meals a day. They're not even that, they're not crazy big. They're just average size meals. And I have like either 1 liter of kefir or like a smoothie, like a banana, peanut butter, cottage cheese, milk, oats, chia seeds. I blend it up. Quite a nice thick smoothie. So maybe that's what keeps me going. Keeps me, I have that before bed anyway. So I think it helps because the cottage cheese has got like the casein protein for slow
Yeah.
release throughout the night. So I think that's probably what helps me to recover. I don't know if I have it like every night I have that. But yeah, I don't really eat crazy amounts throughout the day. I just eat because I kind of have to eat, but I don't really get hungry that much. I mean, I do a little bit, but my body's just so used to just not eating frequently. So I just eat 1 hour at a time. But yeah, I think diet is, of course, it's important, but I don't know. I'm not really, I've never been a big fan of tracking calories or, they got the app MyFitnessPal. Track this, track that. I've been too lazy. I'm not reading everything. I'm lazy. I admit I'm lazy. I do not track nothing. I just eat, and then I finish eating. Okay, I'm full up and I'm good. I'm good for the next couple of hours. I don't need to be eating meal one or two meals. I mean, every hour, every 2 hours. I don't think I need to be eating that much, because I'll just end up overeating and feeling bloated. Especially that I train twice a day as well. I like to train when my stomach is empty as well. So. Like especially in the morning, like I love to like get my lifts done in the morning or my statics done in the morning, because it's like I'm empty. So that way I feel maybe I'm lighter, I don't know. But yeah, I don't focus on diet too much. Sorry for whoever answered that, whoever asked that question. It's probably a very bad response, but that's me personally. I do not overeat too much. I think you just eat enough and that should be okay.
But it also correlates with an article that I read a few days ago, which said that the healthiest thing in nutrition is that you can do is to just eat to 70% and not to
Yeah, not to overeat, right?
to overeat.
Yeah,
That's
so
basically it.
maybe that's what I'm doing, because yeah, I think that's definitely right. Because see, a lot of guys just overeat, they're just overeating. They've got a bulking phase, a cutting phase. I don't have any of those phases. I'm just, I haven't, I've, I never have a bulking or a cutting phase. I'm just training. My only phase is to increase my strength and my training. That's all. I don't really care about bulking, cutting, whatever. Like, no, for me, it's not important. If you're a performance athlete, then you shouldn't be too fussed about diet. I mean, if I'm training for size, if you're training for size, then yeah, then maybe you got to track what you're doing. You got to track to increase your size. But for me, don't really care about size. Just only care about performance. As long as I'm eating enough to recover and to train, then I'm happy. Then I'm happy. If I then have no energy, then yeah, maybe I need to eat more, but I've always got enough energy to train. So yeah, you just got to listen to your body. Yeah, that's what it is.
Cool. But do you have like some standards, like that you eat more, like a lot of protein, that you avoid fat, like I don't know, some standards?
I have a lot of carbs and protein. I have lots of rice and chicken. I love meat. I love beef. I love lamb. So my general, like for example, today I'm gonna have rice and chicken. Maybe have that meal again. Maybe yeah, rice and chicken. I also have like a African based diet as well. I have like a lot of okra, spinach. Yeah, lots of rice. So we have a lot of rice, and African diets have lots of rice. So yeah, I think I've got very rich in protein and carbs. Maybe fats as well. Maybe fats, but like I said, I do not care. I don't track nothing. I just eat good food. I mean, there is days where I have takeaway, days where I get Chinese, days where I get McDonald's. Doesn't affect me. It's fine. But generally, I don't really eat too much fast food anyway. Like here and there, if I fancy Chinese, I'm gonna get it. Like if I want a takeaway, I'm gonna go get a takeaway, even if it's after workout or whatever. But it's not like I have like everyday takeaways. It's like maybe once, twice a week. And throughout the week, it's like, yeah, rice, chicken, or like spaghetti bolognese or something. It's just general food, like, but it's the food that I eat is definitely rich in protein and carbs for sure. I would definitely say that. So yeah, I love my meat, I love my carbs, I love my spaghetti, I love my rice, chicken, lamb, burgers. Yeah.
Nice. Your opinion on supplements?
I don't take them at all. I do not take them. I've tried supplements before. Like, I'm always like, I always go into things with an open mind. I'm not going to say, oh, it doesn't work. I always try things out first and see if it makes a difference. Right now, I don't take nothing. I never take supplements. Like, I've never been a fan of taking supplements because I prefer natural food, natural stuff. But I did, like, a few years ago, I tried protein shakes to see if it's going to make any change in my recovery or not. It didn't do nothing. I think it's all, a lot of it is just placebo. I think people thought, oh yeah, this protein. I mean, I don't know what kind of protein that is inside that tub. Whey protein. I'm not sure. I'd rather just eat natural food. But I've tried it just to see if it does work. And I did it for, I got a whole big tub, like a crazy big tub. And I took it every day. And I'll just see if it will make a difference in recovery or not. And I just felt the same as I did before. So that tub, I took it and never took it again. I also tried supplements for joints, the animal pack. For joints, it's these little packet of pills of like 9 pills in it, and I was like, okay, let me try it. I took it every day to see if it's gonna help my joints. Nothing. It was the same. So even when I came off it, I was still the same. So for me, in my opinion, I don't take them. I never will take them. I've got nothing against people taking them, but I think you don't really need them. I think it's just a big whole fitness hype where people need to take this, take that. I think you don't really need them. How did people get strong before supplements were created? People were already strong back in the day and they never really needed that stuff. So, yeah, I just don't take them. I just eat food and drink kefir and have lots of
Cool.
milk. Yeah, that's my opinion on it.
Sounds like a kefir advertisement here. Yeah, so sounds
Literally,
like you.
like people, I used to always put it on my Instagram. People used to always make fun of me saying this guy only drinks kefir, doesn't eat. I said, yeah, like, I don't know. Just that was just my, like I said, that was my meal replacement, just something quick to get something in my system anyway. But I'm a big fan of dairy. I love dairy, man. I have so much dairy. Like, if you see how much, I used to, like, 1 liter of kefir a day some days, you know. People said that's a lot, but for me, it's like, it's a meal replacement. So it's enough.
Cool. Great. We're slowly coming to an end. Do you want to tell us more about your current goals? That's also a frequent question.
Oh yes. All right. So my current goals is to keep smashing the powerlifting. So increase the weights in that. That's my main one of my main goals, as well as increasing my statics. So yeah, like my static goals, yeah, just keep increasing my planche strength, my planche push-ups, my perfecting my 2-finger planche. That's one thing. Want to get that to, because I can do it in straddle now, so I want to get that to a full 2-finger planche. Yeah, just getting my Maltese. I mean, it's there already, but I want to keep getting, just basically getting everything better, just increasing everything. Just having a strong bench press, strong deadlift, strong squat, having a strong statics. Those are my main two goals, and yeah, I'm still gonna keep working towards them. Because yeah, like I said, I'm able to mix them both together, and it's working for me. It's been a few months I've been doing this program, and everything's going up at the same time. So all I need to do is keep up the work, and yeah, we'll see what happens in the end. I would love to be that guy that can just do everything, do flips, yeah, do flips, lift heavy, and planche, front lever. So that's my aim. I've got no, like, not nothing particular. It's just getting stronger as a whole, you know. There
Cool.
is a few moves I'm working towards, which I'll be posting soon anyway, but you guys will see on my Instagram, and you guys will see if you see my Instagram or YouTube. I might even start, like, you know, like vlogging, like, my workouts,
Wow.
because I don't really do, I've got YouTube, but I don't use it much. But I might actually start to like a powerlifting and calisthenics YouTube, because people, like I said, people are very curious of how I mix them together. So I'll start doing videos of how I mix, of each session. For example, like a squat day, a squat and planche day, a bench press front lever day kind of thing. I'll start doing vlogs of how I train, so people can see more in depth, because it's easy for me to say, but it's hard for people to understand it. So people need to see what I do. So I'm going to start to definitely push that out there, because I think it's, like I said, it's very looked down upon. People were like, oh, he trains legs, but then how does he do it? I think I need to try to educate people on how to do it together. And that maybe inspire, like, start my own little thing of planching with 200 kilo squats and stuff like that. So I'll definitely start putting content out there very soon. Like, I'll start vlogging. I've got like a new phone. I've got like a gimbal. I'm gonna get like a stand so I can actually vlog and train at the same time and put it out there so people can actually see, you know, how it's done, and do like tutorials and everything. So yeah, I'm gonna definitely push that out there for people to see. It's not like a big, it's not even a secret. It's not my own big secret. It's like, it's no secret behind trying to mix them together. It's just you do it or you don't do it, you know. But yeah, I'm just gonna try to put that out there and be
Awesome.
try to be unique and inspire others to train to be complete. Don't have to be complete. You can stick to do what you love to do. But for me, it's like, I just love to lift heavy. It's satisfying, and I love to planche and static. So why not mix both together? You know, simple as that. And if you really want something, you make it happen. You don't set limitations on yourself. If you start saying, oh, but then I want to be tired, well, then that's you need to work on your mindset. But for me, it's like, discipline is everything. So have the discipline and take it from there, and just believe in yourself, and hopefully with smart training it will happen. But yeah, that's all I can say.
Well, I've got one more question because I think I'm quite interested in goal setting, how different people set goals differently. You said that you want to improve your squat, et cetera, but you didn't say like precise numbers. Do you set goals
Okay, cool.
like this?
So because it's been a long time since I
No,
think. So
I'm just
yeah.
interested in your mindset, you know, like do you set precise numbers when you set goals for yourself,
Yeah,
or
I'm
do you
like,
say
for example, I'll say my lifting goals right now. So where are we? We were in March. May, sorry, May.
March?
We're in
Yeah.
May. We're in May. Because I literally have been back onto the squatting for like 6 weeks now, because I didn't squat for a long time because of lockdown. But before lockdown, I had a 180 beltless squat for a comfortable single, like an easy single. I even did like a video. I did a 180 squat into a planche, 10-second full planche. So I want to basically get, I want to get that to 200 kilos in hopefully 6 months. It's a nice 200 kilo squat in 6 months. Deadlift, I want to get my 260 end of the year, 260 deadlift. Because previously, before lockdown, when I was at my strongest, I did a 240 beltless really easily, like it was like an RPE 7. So I think a 260 will be there with smart training. Bench press is something new for me. I was never really into bench press before, so I would love to bench press like 140 plus. Maybe that will probably take me like another 6 months or something. But yeah, those are like my lifting goals. But yeah, I always set like realistic goals anyway, because I don't really want to aim too high. So each month, it's like I don't really like go crazy. So it's a thing where each month it's just about not maxing out, but doing like a top single. That's like 80%. Doing a top single every month, walking towards those goals. Yeah, for plant and for my calisthenics, it's like I learned a few new moves. So like a dead planche push-up, I learned that recently. So it's just about trying to perfect that, get that nice and deep. Two finger planche, that's one of my main goals as well. I want to get that in full, two finger planche in full. And Maltese, I want to keep. Yeah, I mean, I've now got that on, now got that secure now. But I want to just be able to press that like Maltese clean press to handstand and back down, because I've not tried to press it. So I want to get like Maltese press. And yeah, those are my main. And for front lever as well, for front lever, I want to get really like, I want to improve my front lever pull-ups. I've got a strong front lever hold now, strong front lever presses. I can do two front lever pull-ups with touch, and the rest just goes down and down. So I want to be able to get at least 3 to 5 front lever pull-up with touch in the end of the year. So those are like my top priority goals anyway. So yeah, just gonna work towards those anyway.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good luck for that, but I know that you have
Thank you
your
so much.
smart programming, so
It's all about programming, it's all about being smart. But yeah, that's how it is.
awesome. We always have some quick questions, quick answers at the
Yeah.
end.
Yeah, of course, for sure, yeah.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food? Oh, chicken and rice.
Okay.
Chicken and rice. I can live off, I can eat that every day and not get bored. That's my favorite food, chicken and rice, definitely.
Nice.
Yep.
Are you a dog or a cat person?
Cat person.
Do you own one?
I haven't got one, but there's a cat that I think is homeless, I think, but she always comes and I always feed her.
Wow.
So I look after the cat. I might even take her in.
Sitting there with your chicken,
Yeah, literally,
you.
like I've got like a little snap of me like on the windowsill with the cat, and I'm just like stroking it. So I
Nice.
love cats. I'm not really a fan of dogs. I mean, dogs are okay, but I love cats. I like cats.
Cool. Do you have a favorite color?
Blue
Blue.
or black. Blue
Okay.
or black. Those two are my favorite colors, yeah.
Okay. What athletes inspire you?
Ooh, I've got Nedko is one of my favorite athletes. Nedkov. Everyone knows him. He's another guy that's pretty tall. That guy, he's serious. Yeah, he's one of my favorite athletes because of his height. He's like also the same as me. He's like 100 and he's like one, I think he's 6 foot. Six foot tall, I think. And he's kind of heavy as well. So I respect him because at that height, he's got the craziest Maltese and crazy planches, and he's super clean. So he's one guy I respect. I love the Bulgarian athletes as well, like Viktor Kaminov, Ristov, all them guys in Bulgaria, man. They're serious, man. They're just so clean and strong. So I look up to the guys a lot in terms of my statics. And I've got a few of my friends that I train with, like over here, like that inspire me. Like I've got a friend called Obi. He's also like he trains kind of the way I do. He does the tricking, gymnastics, powerlifting, aesthetics. So seeing him do what I do as well definitely inspires me. And yeah, those are the main guys that inspire me to train. So the Bulgarian guys inspire me to just to stat to Maltese like crazy, like Nedko. This guy's Maltese is crazy. So yeah, he's like one of my number one inspirations. And yeah, just my friend Obi. And I've got another friend called Ash actually. I forgot to mention him, but he's also a powerlifter himself who can full planche.
Wow.
He can full planche and he's a powerlifter. And he skips shuttle planche because his hips are tight. He just went straight to a full planche. And that just shows how having a strong legs can still help your statics. All he did, he learned a full planche in like 4 months from having a tuck. He was already quite strong, you know. So I just said, look, try a full planche. He's actually the one that got me started on powerlifting anyway, because we both started to work together. And I was like, okay, I do calisthenics. What do you do? Oh, powerlifting. And we started training together. And then he kind of just got me into the whole thing. And I said, yeah, try learn a planche. And he learned a planche in literally 4 months.
That's insane. He
So
let
yeah,
me
he's one of
guess,
my.
he's Ukrainian, right?
No, he's not even. He's Asian. He's like he's Asian.
Wow.
He's an Asian dude,
Wow.
and he's actually quite. He's an Asian dude, and he's like I think he's from Bangladesh, I think. But yeah, he's also like he's not really, and he's not a little guy. He's quite, but he's a bit shorter than me, just a little bit. He's like probably like 175 centimeters, maybe a bit higher. He's a big dude. He's like 70, 75, 76 kilos. He learned a full planche in 3 months from having a tuck. From a tuck, 3 months.
Wow.
Guess what he told me? He told me he learned a full planche because all he did was stick his legs out. He squeezed his bum so hard and his legs together so hard it stayed there. So he's another reason why, yeah, that I believe that powerlifting can help your statics. I'm not trying to say every powerlifter can learn a planche, but he's like not a big. I mean, he's not crazy big. He's like quite. He's built. He's like he's got muscles. Like, his legs are bigger than mine. Definitely, he's a muscly guy. But it's surprising, like he's got range, like in terms of statics, he can learn, he can do a front even a planche. He skipped straddle, he just went straight to him from tuck, advanced tuck, one leg and full, in a space of a few months. But that's because he's also himself had a background in like just basic calisthenics, so I think that helped him a lot anyway. But yeah, having strong legs, I think it helps. So I hope this interview will inspire people to train their legs and also not be afraid to train their legs, because I know a lot of people are afraid of training their legs because they think it's gonna make your planche worse or whatever. That's what I just say to everyone: just train your legs for strength, for performance. Don't train for size. I mean, you can still have a planche with bigger legs, but even still, as a static athlete, we all aim to be as light as possible to perform good. You know, like I don't really care about putting on weight anywhere. I just want to be stronger and train. So yeah, my advice to everyone is just don't be afraid, give it a go and it won't harm you. I mean, the first week or two will be hard because your legs will be killing, but once you adapt to it, I think it'll be fine. And I think it will just benefit. Like you ain't, I'm not saying like do squats. You can do like just basic, like I'm not saying do heavy squats, just keep it light, but just focus on leg tension, focus on getting your glutes strong, and I think it will help. to maintain to get better form in your statics, to lock your legs up better, and to have a better like hip positioning, glute positioning as well, pelvis positioning. So yeah, I hope this inspires others to actually try and give it a go and not to down talk, leg training on statics, because I see a lot of guys that they all say this, but have you tried it? Do you know if it's gonna, I mean, it does seem logical. Yeah, okay, he's got big legs, he's not gonna stack, but there's a few guys that have naturally got big legs that can still planche. So I think yeah, just go in with a better mindset. Let's not have this, oh yeah, he's lifting weight, he squats, oh he can't planche, oh it's gonna make harm his planche. Like I said, I've progressed my planche even more while training legs. So just don't make any excuses for yourself and just go hard. Test it out, give it a go. If it's not for you, at least you tried. But give it a go. See what happens. It won't harm you. And also, leg growth does not happen over one squat session. Leg growth happens in many. The guys you see that power lift, they've been power lifting for about 10 years. That's why their legs are like this big. If you just train your legs for a couple months, they won't grow that quickly. Like I get guys DMing me saying, oh, like my legs grow really fast. I'm scared to do it. But do they? I'm looking at you, and you're not really a big dude. So I don't think your legs are gonna grow that big just from doing a little squat. So I'm not trying to say you have to squat times two body weight times three body weight. Obviously, my aim is to squat times three body weight, and your deadlift times four body weight. But you can just squat just for general health and fitness, and just to be like a com not complete, but like just to do it for you. Like, how do I say it? It's to be proportionate with yourself. To be, not be in like, how do I say it? I'm saying it completely wrong. Being proportionate, Don't want to be a guy that's got big upper body but no legs, but they can just be at least strong, at least do something with them. And like I said, it's that the stronger they are, the better you can squeeze your body in those positions. So if you've got a strong bum, guess what? You squeeze it in your planche, it's going to be tighter. You won't banana much. Like if you see most of my plus static videos, even my planche press, people always say I've got a very clean planche press. I believe it's from the leg training I've done. I know how to brace my core and squeeze my bum and not be able to banana my back, because I never ever banana. Like I try my best not to banana. I never ever, like it's very rare to see Denton banana. I'm so like, I always feel that it's people that banana is because they lack body tightness. They lack leg tightness in their body. So I think that if you have a stronger legs, stronger glutes, you can focus on not banana, not arching your backwards, and then that way you create that curve. I think that comes a lot from obviously core strength, but I believe that leg training has helped me to keep my form straight. So yeah, that's my take on that anyway. So I hope this inspires others to just give it a go, maybe get into it if they want, like some kind of powerlifting. I think it's cool. I mean, going to a gym, deadlifting 200 kilos, it's satisfying. It's so satisfying. Like, how would you not want to do that? Like, for me, I just think that's just manly, just picking up something heavy, squatting heavy. I just think it's, and also, I mean, the studies show that it boosts testosterone. Maybe it does, but I think, so it's going to do more good than harm for your body. Just give it time. People like the first leg session is always the worst one. Like, even for me, like someone that's advanced in legs, like if I didn't train legs for a good few months, guess what? I can't walk the next day. But it's just about getting legs used to it, and eventually you'll be fine. So yeah, hopefully this makes everyone want to try legs. Don't have to, don't have to, but just know that it won't harm your legs in any way if you train for performance and not for growth. I mean, your legs will grow, of course, but they won't grow like that. It will take a long time for them to grow. Like I've been powerlifting for a couple of years, my legs aren't that big. I mean, they've gone bigger, but normally when you train, you do gain some sort of weight, and as you keep training, your body's going to follow that cycle. So if I gain weight in my legs, but I've kept training my statics, you won't even feel it. You won't even notice. Like I've never noticed anything. I've never done a leg session one day, oh my planche is slanting because my legs feel heavy. They're not going to feel heavy. If you that's only going to change if you have ankle weights. You wear ankle weights, that's like a big dramatic change for your body. But after a month of using ankle weights, it's going to feel normal. Same thing for like leg growth. If your legs do grow, but you're still maintaining your statics, you won't feel it. So only if you didn't train your statics for a month and then your leg grew, then you tried it, it's going to feel like weighted calisthenics. However, if you then go back to training it again, it's going to be fine. Your body's going to eventually adapt to that size, and you'll progress again. So yeah, just like I said, be positive, go in with a good mindset, and just give things a try before you then talk down talk it. Because I see a lot of guys saying this, that, but I look at their page and they haven't tried lifting themselves. So I'm like, well, how do you know? How do you know it's going to affect your statics? Maybe you're generalizing it, but give it a go and see. You know, I always try to stay open-minded about everything, you know. I mean, even me, when I first tried it, I thought, damn, is my statics going to go down? Let's give it a try. Let me see what's going to happen. Nothing happened. In fact, my statics went up. And they're still going up. You know, so yeah, no harm.
Awesome. It's like really, it's really nice and fascinating to listen to you because you really speak with passion and it's really convincing
Oh
and
yeah. I've got so much passion for legs. I just love training legs. So, I mean, like I said, people could, oh, he's that's because he's biased. He does it himself, or it's because he doesn't grow as much muscle. But I think, I don't know, like, everyone's different. But like I said, there's no harm in trying. You try it out and see. And if it doesn't work, okay, cool. If it works, then you can thank me. You know, I'm there to inspire. I'm not there to put others down. You know, if someone tries something new, like, I remember when I first started training legs, everyone in my inbox saying, what are you doing, Denton? You're gonna lose your plant, Denton. Don't train your legs. And I was like, man, just let me do my thing, man. Don't judge me. If you support me, then, you know, then support me in what I do. But I used to always get DMs of everyone saying, why are you trying to be a powerlifter, this and that. I'm like, I just want to try something new, not even just for my body, but for my mind as well, to be able to learn how to try new things. Because I'm as a personal trainer, I believe it's good to know different aspects of training. Not everyone wants to come and do calisthenics with you. People might want to try something else. Like, people will be intimidated by calisthenics. People want to try different things. People just want general weight training. So if you take yourself and try something new, it's going to help you as a person to grow, because you'll be able to apply that knowledge to others. So I did that. Mainly, I did that just because of my work. But then I fell in love with training legs, so I started doing it. And I mean, I've been doing it for years, as well as statics. No harm, no harm whatsoever.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think this was the longest reply to the quick
I know,
answers.
right?
I
I
think.
got carried away.
No, but it's
I
as I
know,
said,
right?
like it's really fascinating to listen to you, and you really speak with passion, which is really cool. And I honestly think this is one of the episodes, or maybe the episode with the most content and the most valuable insights in like in-depth training advice here. And it's like a super interesting topic. And somebody who listens to this till this moment, like 1.5 hours,
Yeah.
this person will A, take a lot with him, but B, like it shows that he's like really interested in the topic and that you
Yeah.
carried him with you. So yeah, that's I
Definitely,
see it as
definitely. It's
a
been my pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for including me in this podcast. So it's my pleasure. So me being here, like I said, I talk with passion, and yeah, I'm thankful.
that's great. Yeah, let's go through the last quick questions. Favorite skill?
Planche, planche,
Planche. The regular
planche.
full planche or
I mean, planche itself, yeah. Of course, now, like, I've taken a big love to Maltese now. Yeah, Maltese is like my latest learned static skill. I mean, I've always kind of had a Maltese, but I spent 6 months mastering it, and it's really paid off. So I think Maltese may overtake my planche, my planche favoritism, you know. So yeah, I think Maltese, planche Maltese, just those two. Like, I love those two, definitely.
awesome. Pull or push if you have to decide for the rest of your life?
Push, push,
Push. Okay.
push. I mean, yeah, as people say, as you see, I'm mainly a pusher, and my planche is way stronger than my front lever, but I'm trying to change that. I want my front lever to also be strong and be equal. So I am training front lever hard. I don't really show it that much, but it's behind the scenes I'm doing. Like I said, having that balance, being equal. I don't want to be just a plancher that can't do a front lever or front lever pull up. So yeah, definitely. But push, definitely I prefer push, but pull is important. But yeah, push, if I had to choose, push all the way. Push
Okay.
all the way, definitely.
Cool. Do you have a favorite book?
I did read a book recently, Becoming a Subtle Leopard. That's my favorite book.
Is it from Mark Manson? The no.
Yeah.
Ah,
Be
no, 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 no,
becoming
no,
becoming a
no.
supple leopard.
That's something different, totally different that I thought about. How is he called?
Become, yeah.
Yeah, but it's about mobility, right? About
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. So Becoming a Supple Leopard by Glenn Cordoza and Kelly
Kelly,
Starrett.
yeah, Kelly, Kelly, Kelly Starrett, the,
Yeah. So I read that book like a few years ago, and it really helped me in my knowledge about yeah, just mobility and just body positioning and everything. And that helps a lot for my powerlifting progress as well, because it teaches you how to like be correct and be safe in your training. So when I read that book, it really helped me a lot in my knowledge too, especially for clients too as well. So yeah, I've read that book, yeah, a couple, yeah, 3 years ago when I started like strength training. Because yeah, even me, like when you first go into something, you go in not knowing nothing. So you need to educate yourself by reading books or training, getting trained by someone, or just, you know. So I started to read books and yeah, I was like, let me get myself knowledge. And I thought, wow, this book is amazing. So yeah, that's my favorite fitness book anyway.
Cool. We'll also put it in the description for somebody if he wants to check it. Favorite music genre, general?
I like rock music and I like hip hop music. For powerlifting, I need rock music.
Mm-hmm.
For statics, I need like hip hop trap kind of beats. Okay. So yeah, those two. Cool. Yeah, those two are my favorite genres. Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a favorite calisthenics event you've visited?
The best event I went to was in 2015. I went to the World Cup in Bahrain with Bar Sparta. It was like a team competition. So we came second place. That was actually my last freestyle competition before I transitioned over to weighted. But yeah, that was my favorite event because that was amazing. That was like, Bahrain was an amazing place. The competition was really good. Like, it was a crazy comp. It was like a team comp, but also individual as well. That was the best event I've ever been to. That was good memories.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back in 2015. Yeah.
Cool. And to finish off, you already said one or two things, but your message to the calisthenics community.
Yeah, so our message is stay consistent, stay disciplined, and just never give up. Also, yeah, train smart. It's not about going, it's not about killing yourself every session. It's about stimulating, feeling the movement, and being able to train the next day without being too tired, you know. Yeah, and also not being afraid to train legs. That's my message to everyone, you know. Just stick to the program, allow yourself to adapt, and be patient and progress slowly, you know. And focus on form. Try to not let the ego take over. I see a lot of guys, they try to chase, like they go to straddle planche, and they think, yeah, let me try a full planche right now. You need to spend a few months on straddle planche first before you go to full planche, and so on. So don't rush the process and any progression. Always master the progression itself, and then move forward. And yeah, I mean, it's a long journey. Calisthenics is a long journey. Like I've been training all my life, you know, bodyweight training for all my life, calisthenics for like advanced calisthenics 8 years. You have to dedicate your life to it. So don't be in a rush to get any skill, because even if you get the skill, it takes you about another 10 years to master it anyway. So just enjoy the process of it and learn, and just, yeah, explore and learn new things. And yeah, don't be afraid to train your legs. It's a good thing for you. And yeah, that's my main top tip for everyone and advice.
Cool. Thank you. We're coming to an end. How can people get in touch with you? How can they reach out to you? You also offer coaching, right?
Yeah, so I do online coaching. But yeah, you can just get me on Denton Conte on Instagram. I think it's Denton _Conte11 on Instagram. Yeah, you can follow me there, DM me there, ask me questions there, get in touch with me there.
Cool. We will put all the
YouTube me as well.
Yeah, YouTube and Instagram, yeah. We'll put the links in the description and the show notes so people can reach out to you, and you're responsive on Instagram. That's what I can say. So to everybody having questions concerning coaching, etc., Denton is somebody who replies to direct messages.
Yeah, I do reply to messages. People ask me help. I offer them help, you know. I think it's kind of cool to, you know, get help from someone that you look up to, you know, so... Try my best to respond to everyone, you know. Yeah.
As a family man, I know it's, or I can imagine that it's not easy always, but
exactly. So imagine I'm balancing everything out with a little 2-year-old. So insane. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. Where do you find the time? Well, my time is my family and my training. I've got nothing else. So I've got no social life. I don't go out much. I train, I come home. That's it. Train, I come home, I train again, and my son watches me train, and he trains with me. That's my life right now, and I think it's the best kind of life. It's just training and family. What else do you need? There's nothing else more important than that.
That's true. So, yeah, I'm insanely thankful for your time because I know it's valuable and that, yeah, your family wants it as well. So big, big thank you for sharing so much from your trainings, etc. I'm really thankful and I know that people can take a lot from it. And before Denton, you can end the episode and say goodbye to the people. I want to say thank you to all the listeners, everybody who sticked until now, like 1 hour, 40 minutes. It's insane. Yeah. So big respect to you. Big thank you to you for listening to this till the end. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up, check out Denton's socials, and yeah, I hope to see you next time again. And Denton,
yeah,
you can
thank
say
you
goodbye.
thank you very much guys, and yeah, goodbye everyone. Hope you guys enjoyed, you know, the podcast. Hope you learned some things from it, because I was here to help everyone. So I hope you guys got the help you needed, and if you want more questions, just come to me, ask me on my DM. And yeah, look out for YouTube content, because I'm gonna start to actually vlog my training, so look out for that. And yeah, thank you so much. And Philip, thank you very much for having me today. It was a pleasure.